देवलिंगा प्रतिच्चाना स्वाभानुर्देवसं सदी प्रविष्टा सोमामपिपाच चंद्रकाभ्यां सशुचितः Rahu, the demon who causes eclipses to the sun and moon, covered himself with the dress of a demigod, and thus entered the assembly of the demigods, and drank nectar without being detected by anyone, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon and the sun, however, because of permanent animosity toward Rahu, understood the situation. Thus Rahu was detected. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, was able to bewilder all the demons. But Rahu was so clever that he was not bewildered. Rahu could understand that Mohini Murti was cheating the demons, and therefore he changed his dress, disguised himself as a demigod, and sat down in the assembly of the demigods. Here one may ask why the Supreme Personality of Godhead could not detect Rahu. The reason is that the Lord wanted to show the effects of drinking nectar. This will be revealed in the following verses. The moon and sun, however, were always alert in regard to Rahu. Thus, when Rahu entered the assembly of the demigods, the moon and sun immediately detected him, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead also became aware of him.
Chakrenakshuradharena chahara pipatasira Harishthasya kabandastu sudhaya plavito patat.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc, which was as sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body, being untouched by the nectar, could not survive. Purport. When the Personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive, although the body died. Rahu had been drinking the nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus, Rahu's head remained alive, whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. In everything that is revealed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he comes into this world, there is a great lesson to be learned. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is perfect and complete in his own nature as the supreme reservoir of all pleasure, has no need to enter into the stratum of this material existence. It is said, karmana deva netrena. This means that the living being takes his birth in a particular species of life according to one's previous pious or sinful actions, one's karma. Therefore,
this material world, the wheel of samsara, we are forcibly being dragged from one body to another, birth after birth after birth, under the control of the laws of material nature. But Sri Krishna explains, Tribhir Gunamayaya Bhavaya, that I am not subjected to the three modes of material nature. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogiti tattvata tyaktva deham bhunara janma neti mam eti sorajuna. That one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in this world, such a person never takes birth again. Understand how divine and pure is the Lord's appearance in this world, that simply by understanding Him, we never have to take birth again in this world. The Lord comes to this world, as He explains in Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanakaya sambhavami juge juge. To deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to re-establish the principles of religion. Therefore, in the divine lila that we are hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, all of the activities of the Lord and all of His various divine incarnations, if we study and hear of the activities and the teachings from the sadhu who is coming in the authorized sampradaya, then it will be revealed to us what the Lord is trying to reveal to us at this particular instant. Because after all, everything He does in this world is only for the benefit, the upliftment of the conditioned souls who are suffering. For us. Here in India, most everyone knows basically what are the pastimes of Sri Krishna, what are the pastimes of Sri Ramchandra, the pictures of their Leela. We find even in the most ordinary buildings. Even the children in the school, they learn to some extent. But because people are not accepting the authorized process of understanding Krishna's Leela by hearing from the words of the authorized representative of God, therefore there are so many stories. So many pleasing stories. Recently, throughout India, especially Maharashtra, Bengal, there has been the celebration of the Navaratra. And during these 9 evenings, practically everywhere we find people with their sticks performing the Ras Lila dancing. And they know what is Krishna's Leela. And they're all, as a social function, having a party celebrating Krishna's Leela. But they do not understand what is this Leela or why. Therefore, it is simply so much social entertainment without any purification or enlightenment. Therefore, even the subject matter of the divine activities of the Lord are not illuminating, enlightening, enriching, unless we understand through the words of the sadhu, the Lord's representative. Therefore, Sri Krishna says, Hadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upatekshanti te jnanam jnaninastata darshana. If you want to understand the truth, you must approach Gurudev. And Sri Krishna is the absolute truth.
Padma Purana says, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha.
That means there is no difference between Krishna and his name, Krishna and his divine pastimes, Krishna and his transcendental form. So therefore, the pastimes of the Lord, the form of the Lord, the name of the Lord, are the absolute truth. And Krishna says you cannot understand the truth unless you approach his representative. So therefore, no one can enter into the fathomless storehouse of transcendental knowledge that is contained within the pastimes of the Lord unless they receive the key from the representatives of the Lord who can open that divine storehouse. The pastimes of the Lord, the names of the Lord, without the direction of the saints, what we hear and what we chant is in fact only a shadow of the real substance. The real substance can only be revealed through the mercy of the Vaishnava. Therefore, we find people, because they take things cheaply. Sahajya means people take things cheaply. They want to enter into high understandings without inquiring submissively and becoming the menial servant of a Vaishnava. Just like we find even amongst many of our own devotees. They read some book about some Nitya Siddha Paramhamsas living in Vrindavan who are having these beautiful darshans of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, and they're just glorifying the holy abode of Vrindavan. And the devotees think, oh, what am I doing in this crazy place of Bombay? All this pollution, all these crazy children, all these women all around. What to speak of the temple president who always wants me to do service? Why not just go to Vrindavan? It's so nice. There's so many Brijvasis. There's peacocks. There's fresh air. It's the holy abode. I will just go there. And I never have to work again. I can just beg for some food and just dance through the groves and chant Jai Shri Radhe. This is called sahajya. Krishna is not so cheap. You cannot see Vrindavan simply by going there. You cannot understand Krishna's lila. You cannot even taste the sweetness of his name, his real name, unless you go through the authorized process that Krishna has explained. We should never try to imitate the Paramhamsas. Yes, they are living in Vrindavan, but Krishna is coming to see them. And they are transcendental to eating and sleeping. Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, these are the real residents of Vrindavan. They were so absorbed in Krishna's lila, they were so intensely weeping in separation, that they did not even consider the need to eat or to sleep. Simply for social fashion, they would eat and sleep from time to time. Are we on that level? Is Radha and Krishna coming because we're not eating? They're coming and bringing us nice prasad personally? Huh? There was one saint in Vrindavan. He used to do parikram of all Brajadham every day. He would walk very fast. Usually it takes 40 days to do this parikram, but he would do it every day. And he would not eat one morsel of food until after he completed the parikram. So you may think, oh, so I will do like that too. But try to understand his consciousness. Now, one day he had long matted hair because he did not care about his body. He just let whatever happens to my body, let it be. So one day he was walking beside some hills near Ungshagaon, and there were some very thorny bushes. And his matted locks of hair got caught in the thorny bushes. So he could not move. There was no one around. So for hours and hours and hours and hours, he was just trapped in these thorny bushes. And there was no way out. So then what happened? His Lord Krishna appeared and took his hair out of the thorny bushes. And he knew, Krishna knew that he was there all day. Now it had been night. He had not taken a drop of food or water. So Krishna said, he had some nice prasad. He said, you take this nice prasad. The sadhu said, no, it is not possible. I have to do my parikrama of Vrindavan, Brajadham. I cannot take prasad until I complete it. Krishna says, but who are you doing it to please? I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am Vrindavan Nath. I am Krishna. He says, which Krishna are you? If you're Krishna from Dwarka, if you're Krishna from Mathura, are you Krishna from Vrindavan? How do I know which Krishna you are? I am Vrindavan Nath, Krishna of Vrindavan. As Babaji said, huh? How do I know you are Krishna? I will only know you are Krishna if Srimati Radharani herself declares it. Otherwise, I cannot take your food. So at that time, Srimati Radhika appeared. And when he saw the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, then the perfection of all his desires was fulfilled. And Srimati Radharani said, yes, this is my Lord Sri Krishna. And then Babaji Maharaj said, all right, then I will take food from you. You have the authorization of Srimati Radharani. So, is Radha and Krishna coming to bring food for you? Huh? Mahajana yena gatasa panta. We can follow in the footsteps of the great saints, but don't try to imitate them. How do they become such great saints? By hearing submissively from Guru and being a menial servant. So in other words, the name of Krishna, the Dham of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, we can only perceive a shadow until Krishna reveals them to us. After all, in Vrindavan, there are also thousands of Muslims who are living there. And they're killing innocent animals right in the streets and eating them. They have no faith in Krishna, some of them. By some inconceivable will of the Lord, they've been born in the holy Dham. But they are not Krishna conscious. There are even sinful, sinful businessmen who are coming to Mathura and Vrindavan to work in these big, big oil refineries. And their only motive is greed and money. And they did not choose Vrindavan because it's a holy place. They chose it because it's on the Agra-Delhi road. It's a good place for transporting and making lots and lots of money. So there are thousands of such people who are interested in prostitutes, who are interested in drinking, and who are interested in money. Do you think they are seeing Vrindavan? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. You can only see Vrindavan when by the grace of Guru your eyes are anointed with the salve of love. So we should not think that the name of God, the pastimes of the Lord, and the holy dham of the Lord is so cheap that we can simply go and enjoy, go and see, go and be purified. Srila Prabhupada said that if you take the Lord so cheaply to jump above your own position, you will not become purified, you will become putrefied. The process of understanding the truth of Nam, Dham, and Lila is the humble service of the Lord's devotees. Even Sri Krishna became the humble servant of Sandipani Muni. He was the Supreme Godhead himself. This is when he was living in Mathura. He was not as a cowherd boy in this Lila, but he was Mathuranath. He was the prince. He was going to be king. But in the presence of his guru, he went out into the forest to collect wood. The most menial service. It's not the service of a pundit. It's not the service of a king. It's the service of a very, very menial person to just go into the jungles to find wood laying on the ground and bring it back. But he was joyful. He was happy to do so because this was Guru Seva. So it is through the menial service of the great souls, by hearing from them submissively, and by trying to please them by our sacrifice in life. This is the one and only process by which the Lord is revealed to us. This is the only process by which the name of God, the Leela of God, and the Dham of the Lord is revealed. Tapo divyam putrika yena sattvam. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapasya does not mean to do what we want, even if you torture your body. Even if you go to Badrinath and take 10 baths a day and eat only 2 drops of cow urine per week, you will not see God by that process. Unless it is the order of your Gurudev. Real tapasya, if you're asked to live in the city and eat halava and go out and preach, that is the way you'll see God. Huh? Because that is obedience. That is real sacrifice. That is humility. Humility means I do not know. I must approach God's representative and ask, what is it I should do? Not that, oh, I know what to do. I have read these books. I have seen. I know more than what you're telling me. I have a higher understanding than what my Guru Maharaj is saying. This cheap mentality is not the way to God. It is the way to enter deeply into our own vicious mind. And even such people, they may go to Vrindavan, and they may be roaming through the forest saying, oh, how blissful I am. Well, you people, you devotees, look at what you... I was doing what you're doing. You're simply... those dirty bathrooms and all the, you know, crazy people all around, and such dirty mess and so much agitation of the mind. Now I'm simply in Vrindavan, begging for food and living like the Goswamis. Are they living like the Goswamis? Living like the Goswamis is a deeply internal state of consciousness. It is not simply begging food. It is not simply living in a holy place. Living the Goswamis means actually living in that holy place, actually seeing that place, actually experiencing, actually surrendering to the Lord. The 6 Goswamis went to Vrindavan under the order of their guru, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They did not just go on their own. So there might be some peace. There might be some happiness. There might be some sublime thoughts of Krishna in the mind. But the actual revelation of love cannot take place through that process. Do not take the Dham so cheaply. The revelation of love, the actual higher realizations, only come through surrender and sacrifice by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So then one may say, but there's so many Vaishnavas, I'll just choose the one that tells me what I like to do and I'll get his mercy. That is not surrender. After all, the Vaishnavas here, they are telling me to sweep the floors, collect money, do sankirtan, go to these poor ghetto areas and give food to these low people. Oof. I could be with the Paramhamsas in Braja Dham dancing with the peacocks. Why not? I'll just find some sadhu who will say, yes, do like this. That is not the process. You have guru, you must surrender to guru. That is the process. Not that you have a different guru for every mood. Every mood of every day you find a different guru. That is not guru. That is not disciple. Krishna's sublime plan is to inquire submissively and render service. How can I best serve? Just like Lord Nityananda. How much he wanted to stay in Jagannath Puri with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you cannot stay here with me. You go to Bengal and you preach. You spread the glories of the congregational chanting of the holy name to everyone without discrimination. And he gave him a whole army of devotees to join him. And they were simply traveling from town to town, city to city, village to village, preaching the glories of the Lord. And it was not an easy thing. Sometimes they were persecuted. Sometimes they were ridiculed. Sometimes they were even physically abused. It would have been a lot easier just being in Puri, dancing with the Lord. But it was not the order of the Lord. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur has said, Vyavashayatmaka budhyare keha kuru nandana bahusha kahyanantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. That if one wants to approach Krishna, one must be determined to make the order of Guru his life and soul. That is our only real connection with Krishna. Outside of the order of Guru, any other conception of our connection with Krishna is only a shadow. It is not real. It is not the truth. As we were explaining yesterday, Krishna cannot be manufactured by our tongue. It is not just by saying Krishna that Krishna appears on our tongue. That is a material sound vibration. The name of Krishna can only be revealed by the saint, by the sadhu, by the representative. When we hear from the guru, the name enters into our ear. It goes into our heart. And then from our heart, if we are sincere, it rises to the platform of our tongue and manifests. So actually, it has been by the causeless mercy of the sadhus given to us. And if we are sincere, from that heart it will dance upon our tongue. It's not that you can manufacture. Similarly, just by going to Vrindavan, or just by hearing the leelas of the Lord, it is not that you are entering into that spiritual stratum. You are just hearing, although, yes, there is some purification, but it is a shadow of the real leela. It is a shadow of the real dham. But the real essence of the truth of Krishna in all of his various manifestations in this world can only be understood when he reveals them. And he reveals them from within our own heart when we become the humble servant of his servants. That is the only process.
That is the sacrifice of human life.
So here we are reading this morning about a wonderful Leela, which is incomprehensible to the atheist. Because first of all, we're talking about God. And God is He who knows past, present, and future, who is omniscient and omnipresent. And here it is explaining that Rahu, he was sitting in the assembly of the demons as Mohini Murti bewildered every one of them. She is God herself. Mohini Murti was pouring the nectar in the mouth of each and every demigod. And the demons were so infatuated by her beauty and by her charm that they just sat there very contently thinking that if I gain her gracious mercy, who needs the nectar? This is a higher nectar. Her love, her charm, her sweetness. Even the demons are attracted by the sweetness of the Lord. But they do not understand how to obtain it. Even Ravana, nothing of his whole golden kingdom with all of his beautiful wives attracted him after he saw the sweet beauty of Sri Sita. Krishna says in the Gita that all that is beautiful and wonderful in this whole creation is only a tiny spark of my divine splendor. Krishna is the source of all beauty, of all munificence, of all love, of all charm. He is Madan Mohan. He is the attractor, even of the attractor of all in the form of Cupid. But Rahu, he was able to detect that this is Krishna himself who has taken this form, and he is cheating us. And all my cohorts, the other demons, they do not see it, but I understand that we are being cheated. So he very cleverly disguised himself as a demigod and sat amongst the demigods. And as Mohini Murti was personally pouring the nectar in the mouth of each demigod, she did not detect that this is Rahu, the demon, and she poured it within his mouth. How is it possible? If the Lord is omnipresent, omniscient, the knower of everything, past, present, and future, how she could not recognize that this was a demon? Even when the Lord, by His divine will, appears to forget, He is trying to teach us something. Nothing within the Srimad Bhagavatam is just a story. It is the divine Leela, and in each and every syllable of the Bhagavatam, all knowledge of the Absolute Truth is contained. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati Thakur explained that if you can understand in full, in reality, even one syllable of one word of the Bhagavatam, you will be a fully enlightened soul. What to speak of one pastime? Mohini Murti wanted to show us that she allows, the Supreme Personality of Godhead allows the demons, in order to fulfill their desires, to sometimes apparently even outwit the Lord Himself. How did Ravana steal Sita? By disguising himself as a saint. Similar to Rahu. He disguised himself as a saint, just as Rahu disguised himself as a demigod. And he tricked Sita. She is the omniscient mother of all creation. She knows everything. But she personally, temporarily forgot by her own sweet will, just so that she would be kidnapped by Ravana And Ram, he knew that Maricha, that deer, was a demon. Why did he go chasing after it? He apparently was tricked by Maricha. He allowed himself, he forgot that it was a demon, by his own sweet will, and said, oh, very nice, you tricked me, I will go chase you. It's something very special to teach the world through this pastime. But the Lord understands this is the difference between the activities of conditioned soul and the Leela of the Lord. The Leela of the Lord is all orchestrated by his own sweet will. And just to make things interesting, and just to teach the world how to love him and how to serve him, sometimes he forgets. Sometimes he appears that he is going to be defeated. So the Lord wanted to show how he fulfills the desires even of the asuras, where they can make their plans and even appear temporarily to trick the Lord to fulfill their own fastidious desires. But in the end, they are always detected and destroyed. In the end, Ravana was killed. During the fight of Narasimhadeva and Hiranyakashipu, at times Hiranyakashipu was actually winning the battle. But in the end, he was torn to pieces by the Lord. The Lord plays with the demons, just like he plays with his devotees in Goloka. He plays with the demons in this world. Yes. Yes, you are better than me. You think like that for some time. So what is happening here is Rahu is disguising himself as a demigod. And in this way, he's fulfilling his desires. Similarly, sometimes demons disguise themselves as devotees. Demons will do anything to fulfill their own interests. And the Lord will even allow them to get away with it. And he will even allow them to succeed for some time. But in the end, they are destroyed. If you want to cheat, Krishna will let you be a cheater, but ultimately you will be cheated. So we must not see things according to their superficial appearance. Ravana appeared to be a sadhu. Rahu appeared to be a demigod. And even the Lord allowed him to go on like this. How was he detected? By the sun god and the moon god, who were great devotees of the Lord. They understood that this was their enemy who was disguised. So similarly, how do we know who is a real devotee? How do we know which book is actually good for us to read? How do we know which organization is the proper organization to make spiritual development? How do we know which group of people singing kirtan is actually purifying to my heart? Sometimes people with ulterior motives even appear to be devotees. And we cannot detect them. And the Lord lets them go on their way to fulfill their desires. It is only through the mercy of Gurudev. It is only through the mercy of the great devotees of the Lord that we can understand who is who and what is what. Therefore, although all the demigods and Krishna himself were thinking, this nice demigod, let's give him some nectar. The sun and moon god said, no, he is a demon. He is Rahu. Then he was detected. Just like in Vrindavan, when Prabhupada was building his temple, so many devotees were there. And there are so many kirtans going on and so many pravachans, and the devotees were just going here, there, everywhere. And Prabhupada said, no, you do not know. Some of these people are not good people. They are sadhyas. They are teaching something else. You will not be purified by it. You will be confused. You will be contaminated. How do we know who is who? You cannot know who is who. It is not possible for you to know who is who. They were reading all books. How do you know which book is actually a book of authorized knowledge of real parampara? How do you know? You cannot know. You are a neophyte. You are not in a position to make such discriminatory decisions. That is why you have to have guru and you have to consult what is good, who is good, where is good. They can discriminate for you. Acharya Upasanam, one who has guru, one who hears from acharya knows what is what. Otherwise we do not know. We cannot understand these things. Therefore the safe path is to simply be humble. Guru Maharaj, representative of Guru Maharaj, what is best for me? I do not know. I am not going to meander and wander into these higher realms of trying to decide these higher rasas and what will enlighten me. I am simply your servant. You tell me. That is the safe, the straight, and the real path back home, back to Godhead. So the sun god and the moon god, they detected that in the guise of a demigod, this man is cheating. And then Mohini Murti took her Sudarshan Chakra and cut off her head. Cut off his head. And he had another lesson to teach us. The power of this nectar. That this ambrosial nectar that was produced by Dhanvantari had such potency that as that nectar was in his mouth, his head was cut off. Because it touched his mouth, his head went on living. It was given great longevity of life and effulgence. But the rest of his body, because the nectar had not reached that, it immediately fell to the ground, dead. And then, this head was given to Lord Brahma, and he made it into a planet. These things we will discuss in our future mornings of Srimad Bhagavatam class. But try to understand that even though he tasted this nectar, still his activities, even though he has long life, still his activities are envious of the Lord's devotees. Still, he's an angry person who does not have real peace, real tranquility, real love in his life. What does this mean? This means that the nectar of this world, however sweet it may be, will never satisfy your soul. The ultimate sense gratification in all of creation is this nectar. And even that is not enough to give us peace or satisfaction. It is only the nectar of devotion. It is only when we dive into that bhakti rasamrita sindhu, that transcendental nectar of service to the Lord, that we can experience the real pleasure, which is the longing of the soul. So we should long, we should cry, we should strive at every moment for that nectar. And that nectar is only obtainable by accepting the position of being the humble servant of the servant of the servant and following the authorized path of devotional service to the Lord. Then the real sweetness of the divine lila, the divine name, the divine form of God is fully manifested from within our heart. Then we can understand in truth the real beauty of Vrindavan, the infinite, eternal, spiritual grandeur of the topmost spiritual planet,
Goloka Vrindavan. Is there any questions? Yes.
But it is long life.
Yes. Yes. Therefore, if you are a doctor but you are not giving them Krishna consciousness as well, you're just giving cheap imitations of this nectar. Huh? Trying to give them some material strength, some longevity of life, good health. This nectar would give that beyond any medicine. It's like the supreme material medicine. Still no satisfaction. So therefore, with every medicine, you should give the holy name. If you have a pure heart, then you will humbly follow the direction of Gurudev. You will not go. Huh? And if you do, if it is under the direction of Gurudev, then you will be protected. Huh? But if it's not under his direction, then there is no protection. Then you will be misled. You will think that the ecstasies of devotion are something cheap, like some dramatic performance, some sentimentalism. Sometimes the great souls, they can even go to such places and they can... It's like there was one devotee, Krishnadas Babaji. He was a Paramhamsa. One of Prabhupada's dearmost godbrothers. So at one time he was living in one of the Gaudiya Math temples in Navadvip. And one of the acharya who was living there, he was very strict according to the Rupa Sanatan line of divine thought. So Krishnadas Babaji, he was always immersed in kirtan. He was a Babaji, he was not a preacher so much, he was a Babaji. But he was a real Babaji. Genuine lover of Krishna. So he would always be in kirtan. And sometimes these sahaja groups, they would be having kirtan and Krishnadas Babaji would be walking by and he would go and join them. He was just tasting the name everywhere he was. But he was living at this one Gaudiya Math. So the leader of the Math said, you should not be going to these sahajas. They are taking things cheaply. They are simply sentimentalists. Crying without, but still attached to sense enjoyment. This is not real kirtan. We are sober. We are chanting and dancing according to the way Sri Chaitanya has taught us. Not that we imitate him, but according to the line of great gurus. So, it was found out that although he was 99% going to the nice Gaudiya kirtans, 1% he was still sometimes going with these other people. So the acharya said, I cannot allow you to stay in our math. You are a paramhamsa. You are above all these things. You could find Krishna anywhere. But these common devotees, if they see you going to these places, they will also think it's all right and their lives will be ruined. So therefore, we have to have a standard in this temple, so you cannot stay here. He was crying. How can I tell you not to stay here? You're more advanced than me. But for the sake of these innocent devotees, I have to tell you that if you continue like this, you cannot stay here. So he kept going, so he was asked to leave. And after he left, the Gurudev of that Math and so many of his followers were crying and weeping because they had to ask this man to leave. Such a great saint. They were literally crying. But they had no choice. They had to protect those innocent devotees under them. So one day, Krishnadas Babaji was at the gate. Hare, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. He came back in and
They were so glad to see him. They said, this is after some days he was gone. So you are here now. Gurudev said, I told you that you should not live here. He said, Krishnadas Babaji said, yes, you told me to leave, but you never told me I could not come back. So I have not disobeyed you. And then he didn't go anymore. For the sake of the lesser devotees, he accepted this position of not going. So you see, these great souls, we cannot imitate them. If we try to imitate them, it is like trying to imitate Lord Shiva. He drank poison. Huh? If you try to drink that poison, you will die. Huh? The great souls, they are in a transcendental position. Therefore, we must simply, those who are the real protectors of bhakti, who are the preachers of the Lord, the madhyamadikaris, the uttamadikaris, they do not even discriminate sometimes. They just, Radhe Shyam, they are everywhere with Krishna. But we cannot be like them. Therefore, such uttamadikaris at times, they come down to the position of a madhyamadikari where they discriminate to teach us. A preacher must come down to the platform of a madhyamadikari. An uttamadikari, as long as he's staying on that position, he cannot preach. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, how advanced he was when he would see people eating meat. When he would see people completely giving up all spiritual disciplines. Not even chanting the name of God, listening to cinema songs. He would think, they're so advanced, my God, they don't even have to chant Hare Krishna. They can be with Krishna while eating meat and listening to cinema songs. But I'm such a neophyte, if I don't chant one lakh of names a day, I'll forget Krishna. Huh? That was his humility. And he was actually feeling like that. Now if you think, well, so, if I want to be advanced, I should listen to cinema songs and eat meat and drink liquor. After all, that's what Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said. Right? See, he was not a preacher in that way. He was an uttamadikari who just remained on that transcendental position where he was just seeing everybody as God's eternal servant. But those who want to train people in the ordinary world, they have to come down to the level of saying, this is good, this is bad. This is sahaja, this is real. This is sense gratification, this is devotional service. They teach you how to discipline your life in this way. The disciple of Gork, the only disciple of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who grasped the essence of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's divine love, and he taught very strictly the principles of Krishna, of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it is by the mercy of such great souls that we can learn what is the path back home, back to God. Yes. Yes, that is the uttamadikari vision, but you do not benefit. If you do not know, there's no benefit. You are serving Krishna through his external energy, and therefore you suffer. Huh? Krishna is reciprocating with everyone according to how they approach him. If you are serving him in forgetfulness, in a sinful way, then you will get a very suffering reaction. That is also his leela. His leela is also to give pain to the sinners, to gradually bring them to the platform of surrendering to his will. There is nothing but Krishna. Maya is Krishna's energy. Krishna is not different than his energy. Everything is Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna. But some are serving him favorably and some are serving him unfavorably. Those who serve him favorably get a favorable result, and those who serve him unfavorably attain something unfavorable. But it is all coming from Krishna and it is all going to Krishna.
Independence. You see, he knows which demons want what, and he puts them right in the place where he can best use them. They're still using their independence, but he puts them where he can best use them for his purpose. He can use even the wicked for his own purpose. Even in the material world, this is good management. Whatever a person's good points or bad points, a good manager understands how to use everything for the ultimate mission. Right? Even as somebody who has very bad points, you figure out how that these bad points could somehow or other serve the overall mission. And you put him in a place where he could function in that way. Right? In the Lord's personal lila, on a very higher level of understanding who these personalities are, sometimes this is very difficult. All we can understand is the lesson that Krishna is trying to teach us in this regard. Duryodhana, whatever he is, ultimately everyone's an eternally liberated soul. Correct? Are you not an eternally liberated soul? Every soul is eternally liberated. Some souls have forgotten it, and some souls have remembered it. Huh? So yes, Duryodhana is an eternally liberated soul. So are you, and so am I. Everyone is. But we have forgotten it. And he was very, very deeply immersed in forgetfulness when he was persecuting the Pandavas. Now the question whether it's Yogamaya or Mahamaya, where it wasn't by a misuse of independence, but by the divine will of the Lord, he just took an eternal liberated soul just to use him for a purpose and makes him forget. But actually it's his service to forget. Or whether due to Nityabandha, means one who by misuse of independence wants to forget and Krishna gives him forgetfulness. But in either case, the message is the same. Huh? The lesson is the same. That however great and powerful and learned you are, if you are not favorable to the Lord's devotees, you will lose everything and be destroyed in due course of time. Huh? Yes. Don't think about this like and dislike. Just think about what Gurudev likes, what the Vaishnavas like. If they tell you to do something you love to do, then it's your austerity to tolerate your loving to do it and do it. Right? And if they tell you to do something you hate to do, with the same enthusiasm, you have to tolerate your hatefulness and do it. Because you're not doing it for you. A servant doesn't do it for himself. A servant does it for his master. We have to put aside our own feelings of like, dislike, difficult, easy. This is all selfish thinking. This is not the thinking of a servant. This is the thinking of one who wants to be the master and the enjoyer. So of course we have these feelings. We cannot deny it. Therefore we tolerate them and we go on with our service. According
according to the direction of Krishna's representatives.